All right, hello everyone, and welcome to a special edition of WDOT Port Washington Radio. My name is Charlie Mark, and today I'm joined by a special guest, Matthew Podobinski. He is a graduate of Schreiber High School. He went to USC, and he currently works at NFL Red Zone. Matthew, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Charlie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So Matt, before we get into, you know, all the details about your professional career and your background, your time at Schreiber, I gotta ask, given that you work at NFL Red Zone, who do you have winning on February 7th now that we know the matchup?
That's a great question. I think it's going to be a really good game. If I were a gambling man, I might keep the Chiefs. I mean, they just look really good right now. I personally thought that if anyone was going to stop them, it was going to be the Red Hot Bills. But I really think the Chiefs have it. Even though, you know, Tom Brady, the GOAT, you know, he's been almost unstoppable in the Super Bowls. But I think I tip my hat to the young gun, Pat Mahomes, in this one. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
All right. Well, I'll hold you to it. So going now to your time at WDOT, you graduated from Schreiber in 2008. Well, first off, when you were a freshman, did Schreiber even have a radio station?
So WDOT was founded in my sophomore year, I want to say. So it was in its infancy, and I was on one of the longest-running shows at the time. Me, my friend Lane Mergler, and Garrett Iliano did a show called In the Mix. And I believe we started in our junior year, and we continued all the way through our senior year. And, yeah, at the time it was the longest-running show, and I'm sure it's been long surpassed by then. But at the time, yes, we were with WDOT in its very earliest years.
That's great. And, you know, I think it's so cool to speak with you, given, you know, this new generation of WDOT, new people at the radio station. We're talking to the pioneers, the founding fathers of Port Washington Radio.
Exactly.
Tell us, Matt, what made you want to join WDOT? What got you interested in radio?
When I was a Schreiber, I needed some form of creative outlet, and I felt like that was the best way of kind of expressing myself. You know, we had a free format where we could kind of do whatever we wanted with the show and talk about what we wanted, and we touched on everything. We touched on current events and sports, and I got to, you know, play, you know, my favorite songs on my iPod at the time, even though that's been, like, long outdated. But, yeah, it was just such a great creative outlet for me, and just a great way of meeting people and a great club to be a part of, especially in its earliest years, kind of seeing it take off from the ground up and see it kind of evolve. So it was just an awesome experience for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it continues to be an awesome experience for everyone involved. Now, being in WDOT in its early stages, were you taught the ropes by Mr. Claff himself?
Yes. So Claff has really been the radio man from the very beginning, up until now, it sounds like. And yeah, we basically started out, I'm sure you guys have the same radio room, like on the upstairs of Schreiber, and yeah, he basically built it from the ground up. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, those microphones, and, you know, we had a very rudimentary kind of you know, music playing system. And I went back, you know, right after I graduated, and I saw even since then, like, they got even more equipment. So, it was really awesome to be involved with Mr. Claff, and we actually, a few of us had him for social studies class as well. So he ended up being a really great mentor of mine in my career.
That's great. And, yeah, he definitely helps us out a lot. You know, he got this interview going. He connected me with you. So he's definitely really interested in preserving the alumni network and helping all of us going forward in our careers as communications professionals. So now you did WDOT in Schreiber, and that's not your only communications experience. Tell us a little bit about what else you did creatively as a student at Schreiber, specifically with regards to the infamous Shakespeare Day?
Yes. So I must say I'm very honored to know that my legend of Shakespeare Day lives on to this day at Schreiber. So basically, Shakespeare Day was a once-a-year celebration, usually in April, and the English department put it together, and, you know, you could basically perform, you know, any sort of Shakespeare play as, you know, in whatever form that you wanted to. And when I was at Schreiber, I noticed that a few of the students had put together movies and screened it in front of the, basically the whole school in the auditorium. And I saw that format and I was like, that's pretty awesome, you know. I would love to do that at some point. So I saw someone screen their movie, and that whole next year, I went home and I was, after school, I would just put together little like video clips that I would find on the internet and download, and I would put it together to music, and almost like, you know, like a music video in a way. And I kind of weaved in a story around you know, interesting songs and video clips that I would download on the internet. And, you know, I would kind of take you know, the music that I wanted and the clips that I wanted, and I kind of weaved in, you know, my first movie was Romeo and Juliet. And so I screened that in front of a full, you know, auditorium at Schreiber. And it was such an experience. You know, I had basically a full auditorium of students just laughing. And, you know, at the end, I got a huge round of applause. In fact, the first movie was so well received that it went over past the last bell, and everybody stayed. You know, nobody left. past the end of school, it was like overtime.
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome.
If anyone would want to stay in school for more than an extra minute than they would have to, it would be for a good cause. So that's certainly a great honor.
Exactly. So it was such an amazing experience. And after that, everybody came up to me and said, follow your passion, man. Like, it's in movies, like, for sure. So sure enough, I did. And years later, you know, I graduated from Schreiber, and I ended up at USC, USC Film School, and graduated with a degree in film and television production. And now here I am, working in TV, and I'm still out in LA. So, I sure went for it. And, that whole passion pretty much all began at high school, at Schreiber High School. So just kind of a cool little way, you know, to, you know, kind of pursue, you know, what you love to do. And it all started with Shakespeare Day, really, which was just a blank template, and I kind of, you know, put forth my masterpiece, if you will. And, sure enough, years later, you guys still remember me.
I gotta say, Matt, it's very interesting because, you know, we all know at one point or another, you know, we kind of have that light bulb moment when we discover what exactly we want to do with our careers, what we want to do with our lives. So with that being said, did you know when you were getting that round of applause, did you know that film production, communications, that was the field you wanted to go into as for a career?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that was definitely the moment where it all came together. Like I said, especially, you know, hearing the applause that I got there, at teachers even came up to me and congratulated me. My English teacher, Mrs. Kennedy, I'm not sure if she's there anymore anyway, who was actually kind of one of my best teachers for English, came up to me and said, like, that's your passion, like, make sure, like, you pursue that. So people basically held me to it. They said, you know, you better do that because I'm going to remember you. And sure enough, here we are.
That's such a great story, and I think that, you know, it's the little things like that, you know, in the history of Schreiber and the history of WDOT that just make our community so wonderful. moving forward now into the college years, you mentioned how you went to USC. You also went to UC Berkeley. So I want to know, what did you do going into college to continue and further your aspirations as a film producer and whatnot?
That's a great question. So after that first Shakespeare Day, that was in my junior year, I followed it up with a sequel in my senior year. We did Henry V, was the sequel to my Romeo and Juliet. So I did that in my senior year, and while it was important, I mean, me and my friends would get together and, you know, just shoot little things on the side and just little funny videos and post them on YouTube. And this is back when even, you know, YouTube was in its infancy as well, just kind of getting off the ground before it had, you know, all these advertisements. Mm-hmm. So, kind of doing little things at home and, of course, sticking to my studies because, you know, you can't get into these schools without, you know, actually putting forth some kind of effort in school. So, you know, I really studied hard when I was in Schreiber and, you know, worked really hard. And sure enough, you know, got into UC Berkeley. When I was out there, I actually joined the film club out there. It was called Giant. Made a couple of movies with them. And I even took a music video class in Berkeley. And interestingly enough, while I was at Berkeley, I also continued my passion for radio, and I actually joined CalX, which is their college radio station out there in Berkeley, which was an awesome experience as well. I was trained on how to be a DJ, and it was a little more of an old school feel to you know, a radio station. They actually taught us, you know, how to play vinyl records. They have a huge library of just vinyl records. So I had a couple of radio shows in college, and my parents would tune in the middle of the night because when you're starting out there, you know, you don't get the best time slots, but you know, I'd be spinning records in the middle of the night. And it was an awesome experience. And basically what it came down to was I was about to declare a major, and it was probably going to be film studies at Berkeley after I took all my, you know, GE, you know, entry level classes. And I applied to transfer to USC Film School, and sure enough, I got in. So it really came down to, you know, study film at Berkeley or study it at USC. And I did the visit to USC, and I was like, this is really the place where I should be for this. Mm-hmm. You know, they had brand new facilities. You know, George Lucas donated a ridiculous amount of money to the school. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of the place to study film. And yeah, sure enough, I transferred, and 3 years later, I got my diploma, and I've been out in LA and working ever since then. So I graduated USC in 2013. And been out in LA ever since. So I love it out there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. And that's obviously a major hub for film production and movies in general. I want to ask you, Matt, is there anything that you learned during your time at Schreiber, be it from WDOT or be it from your time producing films for Shakespeare Day, anything you learned that you were able to carry in to USC and Berkeley in your experiences there?
Yeah, definitely. I would say high school is a great time to kind of figure out, you know, who you are and what you want to do with your life. And don't be afraid to take risks, I would say. You know, don't be afraid to fail. You know, I know Mr. Claff is, you know, a big, you know, entertainment comedian kind of guy. Like, don't be afraid to, you know, scream something in front of the whole, you know, school like I did or something like that. You know, sometimes things work, sometimes things don't, but, you know, either way you learn from it, right? So, don't be afraid to take risks. That would be my biggest piece of advice for anyone at Schreiber right now.
Yeah, and especially now during, you know, this new medium where we have the internet and we have all these resources where we can truly use them as creative outlets to display our voice. more importantly than ever, to make sure that we get our voices heard. So after, you know, moving on from the college years, you studied film at USC, and tell us what you did right after that. What was your entry-level position in your career for film production?
That's a great question. So my first real job out of school, so I studied film production at USC, and I had all these friends and all these contacts. So right after I graduated, I was working on some film projects where I wasn't getting paid much at all. They'd give us like lunch and whatnot, and I'd be kind of like a PA on set, just kind of helping out.
Mm-hmm.
That was like my first real gig out of school. But after that, you have to realize, you have to make rent, in a big city, especially like Los Angeles. So my first actual job out of school, I was actually working at Fox Sports over in Century City, and I was hired as a stat man, and I was kind of like fact-checking shot sheets, as they call them, for the nightly news broadcast of Fox Sports Live. I don't know if you've ever seen that or heard of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Jay Onwright and Dan O'Toole, they recently changed it where it was kind of their version of SportsCenter a few years back, and then they recently changed it to they're not even showing highlights anymore. So but back when it was like their SportsCenter, I was like one of the stat guys, kind of like fact checking their shot sheets or the things that they say on the air. So that was my first gig, and I loved it. I combined my passion for sports with my production background a little bit, and I was there on the Fox lot, and it was awesome. I really loved it, and I was actually there working for Fox when the Mets made the World Series and nearly beat the Royals. I don't know if I have any Mets fans listening. It was awesome to be a part of it. I worked on the NFL morning show there that had Randy Moss and Donovan McNabb. So I got to meet like some pretty big names in sports media. I helped out on the baseball show. I got to meet Pete Rose and A-Rod was there for a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was my first big gig out of school, and I loved it. Like I said, it combined some of my biggest passions. And that actually kind of led me to where I am now at NFL Network.
Yeah, that's it. I was just about to ask. Starting out at Fox Sports, that's obviously, a major gig moving forward in your career. I was going to ask, how did you get to NFL Red Zone from Fox Sports?
Yeah, so I was at Fox for like a couple of years. I think it was like 2 years or so. And basically, there was a period where somebody new took over and they completely like reshaped what Fox Sports was. Like I said, when they changed Fox Sports Live to make it without the highlights, and they made it more just the talent based, kind of talking about things.
Mm-hmm.
There were some big organizational changes, and sure enough, my position was eliminated, as I guess you could say. I was kind of laid off, but it kind of goes with the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, a lot of us did at the time, because there was this major restructuring kind of going on for the company. So a lot of us ended up over at NFL Network. So sure enough, I had a contact, and it came through, and I was hired to be the ticker operator, which is, the ticker is like the bottom line scroll that has, the headlines and the scores and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was hired to be one of the ticker operators because, it's a 24-hour news cycle, so they need a whole team of us.
Right.
And I've been there for about 5 years now. So, that's kind of how I ended up over at NFL Network. And like I said, at the same time, a bunch of my Fox coworkers kind of ended up over there too, because, out in LA, these two companies are like right down the street from each other, basically. So it's interesting to see how that kind of worked out.
Right. That's certainly an interesting dynamic. Yeah. I just want to ask you, you know, moving forward, NFL Red Zone, you said that you were a picker operator. Is that correct?
That's right. So basically, you know, the bottom line scroll that has the headlines, the scores, that's the ticker. So, we work an 8-hour shift, and I could be working at any hour of the day, basically, because, you know, the news cycle for NFL never sleeps. So if you're ever, if you're ever tuned in and you see the bottom line scroll, it could be me, working the magic behind what you see down there.
Is your schedule going to be particularly busy for the next couple of weeks?
So as it works out, you know, I work year-round, basically, so it's not any busier, you know, during Super Bowl season as it would be, you know, in the off-season. So with my current schedule, I'm usually working about 3 days a week, and yeah, I love it. And as far as Red Zone goes, they like to train some of the ticker operators to work on Red Zone, which is the program on Sundays, 7 hours long. It covers all the games in real time, you know, kind of flipping around between the scoring plays, more or less. So, as they say, it kind of trims the fat of the football game, if you will. So, yeah, they train us all how to work on that show. And, you know, it's a slightly different, you know, process than the normal network. But, yes, I've been the sole Red Zone operator for the past 3 seasons. So if you're ever tuned into NFL Red Zone, that's me and nobody else, actually. So it's actually how I ended up getting this interview with you guys. It just so happens that Mr. Mobauer, who I also had for social studies, was tuned into the last episode of Red Zone this season. And usually for the last episode of the season, they do a group photo with everybody who works on the show, and they thank us all, you know, as a group. But this year, since we're all, you know, working remotely and stuck at home and whatnot with the pandemic, they asked us to send in a picture of ourselves. So I sent in a photo of myself, and I was individually credited. So you can actually, you know, if anyone has the last episode of Red Zone, you can scroll through the credits, and you'll see my picture, and they actually fonted my name, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome, so, yeah. That's great. And yeah. I guess that must have been a surreal moment, knowing that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, saw your face on TV.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, Mr. Klass reached out to me shortly after that episode, and he wasn't the only one. One of my dad's friends actually emailed him just kind of out of the blue and said, hey, like, is that your son on, you know, the last episode of Red Zone? you know, it's amazing to see how many people actually tune into that program. So it's kind of awesome, you know, kind of a silver lining, if you will, because, you know, usually, like I said, we're all together, and after the last episode, there's a big party, but, you know, instead of the big party this year, you know, I got my face and my name broadcast to the world, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we're running out of time a little bit here, Matt, so I want to ask you one more question. Obviously, you know, it's an evolving media landscape. There are a lot of positions in film production. There's the production side, there's the on-air side, and there's a lot of different jobs in this, you know, new media landscape. And to the people in WDOT right now, to perhaps your younger self, what advice would you give for aspiring media professionals in making it in this day and age?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I like that one. I would say if you're going to pursue a career in media, make sure you really put yourself out there. You know what I mean? It's like when you're in college, I would say take advantage of all the opportunities that you possibly can. Like I said, you know, I was part of the film club, I was, you know, in radio. Just meet as many people as you can, you know, expand your network, and keep in touch with everybody, and, you know, you never know when things will come up. So yes, make sure you network, and make sure you really put yourself out there, because, you know, if you're just at home and, you know, trying to, you know, apply online or whatever it may be, you know, you're more likely to get your break, you know, if you actually keep in touch with contacts. And, you know, in college, you'll notice that some of your classmates will actually end up being some of the people who will help you out the most in your actual career. So it's really interesting. I'm actually working on a film project on the side right now, in addition to my Red Zone gig. So I've actually been kind of helping out one of my friends from USC shoot a movie out in L.A. Since last year. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, keeping really busy and, you know, keeping in touch with everybody. And you never know, you know, what can lead to your big break. So, yeah, that would be my advice.
Well said. Well said, Matthew. So there you have it, folks. Matthew Podobinski, class of 2008. Wonderful interview. Thanks again for joining us. And we'll be back with more special coverage soon. Thanks again, Matt.
All right. Thanks for having me. All right.